What I would like to try to do this morning is to illustrate a principle that might be called the greater homeopathy. Remember that homeopathy, which is a principle that is both used and sometimes abused in modern cures, is the notion that taking a little bit of a dangerous substance can give you an immunity to that substance. The principles on which vaccines work. We vaccinate you with something bad, and it keeps you from getting something worse. The greater homeopathy is this idea that it is precisely through your weakness that you can build your strength. That the same thing that condemns you can save you. In the time of Sir Isaac Newton, Byron put it very well. He said, "Men fell with apples and with apples rose." Remember the story in the Garden of Eden. It's supposed to be that Adam and Eve ate an apple, even though the Bible doesn't actually say it was an apple. And then what is it that fell on Newton's head? An apple. So Byron saw this greater homeopathic principle in the rise and fall of human beings, or more accurately, the fall and rise of human beings. And I want to apply that to the story of Israel. What is the failure of Israel in the Bible? It is a failure of fractured families, of lost brotherhood, of inability to build relationships. It starts in the garden, continues with Cain and Abel, and then really begins in earnest with the people Israel. Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers. Again and again and again, there is this inability to build connection. And by the way, the greatest example of that inability is idolatry. Because idolatry, worshiping idols, is thought of among the prophets as a sin of infidelity. That is, you're not faithful to the relationship of God and Israel. That's why Hosea will use some very strong terms, for example, in condemning Israel for going prostituting after other gods. And that idea that the failure of Israel in worship is a failure of relationship mirrors the failure of Israel in family. The same thing that pulls apart Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Reuven, Judah, pulls apart Israel and God. Israel fell with failed relationships. And then we get to the desert, where the relationships continue to fail. The relationship between Moses and the people, between the people and God, and even, as we know, between the people and each other. As with each successive sin, there are some people standing on one side and some on the other. And they fight with each other. And the desert, even though it is sometimes romanticized, is a scene of fractured relationships, of failed kinship, of families that are, in modern parlance, at the very best dysfunctional. But now we're at the end of the desert. And except for Moshe's final speech, we are done. And something interesting has happened, which is, as you heard earlier from Rabbi Schuldenfrei, two tribes and eventually two and a half tribes, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe, decide to stay on the far side of the Jordan. and it's accepted, and it's okay, and it doesn't break the relationship between them and the tribes on the west side of the Jordan. Moshe picks a successor, Joshua, and he doesn't pick his children, and it's okay. There is no rebellion against Joshua's leadership. Moses' children never come to him and say, "How about us? We're your family. Why don't we get the blessing?" As we would expect, having read about the controversies of the blessing and of kinship in Bereshit, in Genesis. In other words, the relationship of the people to one another through the desert has been a training, not in perfect unity. It's not that they all agree, but in the ability to stay together despite the strains and difficulties in the family. So that when Yehoshua asks for a declaration of faith and of unity, all of Israel is prepared to give it to him. Maybe because they have in their collective and their family memory how it tore them apart when brother was set against brother. In other words, the tribes of Israel have come together as the people of Israel. And while they have not lost their distinct standing as tribes, in the same way that we may be California and Utah may be Utah and New Jersey may be New Jersey, we're still the United States. The tribes may be separate. Some of them may live on this side of the Jordan, some on that. Some may be given larger shares of the land and some smaller, but they will conquer and live together. We face, as you know, a not so dissimilar situation today. There are strains among what we may now call metaphorically the tribes of Israel. There are people on all sides. And there is and will be over the next several weeks scenes of anger and recrimination and difficulty and strain each side of the land and the people Israel. I don't have and wouldn't suggest a perfect solution to this problem, because it is a problem without a perfect solution. And each side, if it is honest, realizes that whatever idea or solution they advocate, there are many cogent objections to be offered to their solution. But one thing I do know is that Jewish history demonstrates again and again that when we fracture internally, it is devastating for the people of Israel. And so it is my hope that we will be able to do what the children of Israel in the Bible eventually learn to do. And that is to understand that in our weakness is our strength. That in the strains that pull us apart is the necessity to not let it tear us apart. That what happened between Joseph and his brothers was a tragedy that was only redeemed when Jacob blessed Joseph's children and each accepted the blessing. The younger got the greater and the older got the lesser without protest and without fighting. So this will be an interesting summer, to say the least, for the Jewish people, in the same way as the often quoted ancient Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. It will be an interesting time and a difficult time and a time of argument and even, I fear, a time of fighting. But I hope that we will learn this crucial lesson, that our strength is in ourselves, that the extent to which we can come to the same sort of reconciliation that we see in this morning's parsha, that is, we may be divided, but we are one, is the extent to which we will make it through this summer, this year, and this crisis. And so I go back to the verse that I quoted from the Psalms just a few minutes ago. Adonai oz li'amo yitein, Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. May God give us strength, not just strength to fight our enemies, but strength to draw each other close. And by doing so, perhaps, God will, as the psalmist writes, bless us with peace. Shabbat shalom.